إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, I want to say this and remind myself and you that there is a big game that Shaitan plays. And that is that he seems to have convinced us that following Islam is difficult. That following Islam is difficult. And following Islam is painful. And following Islam is something that requires us to suffer in this world in order to gain benefit in the Akhirah. So this is a game of Shaitan that Shaitan has done. Because many times you hear people, when you ask, when you talk about following Islam, you know, people will say, "How sahab, sahi hai, magar bahut mushkil hai." That is true, but it's very difficult. You must have heard this many times. Bahut mushkil hai. So let me try to see if we can see actually whether it is difficult or it's not difficult. So if it is difficult, then okay, maybe we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, give us some discount. But let us see, is it difficult first of all? So let me say a few things. Number one, which is more difficult and more expensive and which is easier? Number one, buying cigarettes, smoking cigarettes, so taking smoke into your lungs and all the chemicals and stuff that goes into in cigarettes and thereby preparing the ground for lung cancer and throat cancer and all kinds of cancers, and then suffering from that cancer and paying through your nose to cure that cancer, and eventually it can't be cured, so you die in pain and suffering. Is this difficult and expensive, or is it difficult not to do all this? You never buy cigarettes, inshallah you never get cancer, you never have to cure cancer. Which is more difficult? Now, I'm just being very logical. I'm not talking about theology here. I'm saying basic logical. Do the sums. One packet of cigarettes, I don't know how much it costs, but one packet of cigarettes costs X amount of money. You smoke two, you smoke three, you smoke four. Allah knows how many you smoke. Add up all that per day. Multiply by 365. And of course, like all good Muslims, you know, remove 30 days of Ramadan out of it. And reduce it, because in Ramadan between iftar and suhoor you will probably smoke half of that. So do all the sums. You want to fool Allah, you might may as well try it. So add up all those and then go to one of the plenty of cancer hospitals right close to here. Go ask one of these, what does it cost? Lung cancer treatment, how much is it? Do the sums. Do the sums. Because I'm saying, you know, we are living with this fallacy, Islam is difficult. So let's see, is it really difficult? So do all the sums, and then the other one, of course, is blank because you have not done anything. So you don't have to spend anything. You didn't spend anything to buy cancer, so you don't have to spend anything to cure cancer. Similarly, take alcohol. I really should not have to speak about all this to Muslims because smoking is haram, alcohol is haram. Why am I talking about it? But what do you think? I should talk or I shouldn't talk? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Take alcohol. Whatever, you know, brand of I'm trying to find polite words. Whatever brand of chemical you put into your body, how much does it cost? Go and speak to people who are alcoholics. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, which is the body which tries to cure alcoholism, they say very clearly, they say that alcoholism has no cure. Once you are an alcoholic, you can never be free from that. The only thing you can do is to keep it under control. It is incurable. What does alcohol do? Of course, what it does to your body is very clear, to your heart, to your brain, all kinds of things, plus what it does to the family. Entire families are destroyed. They read books. Go and read. People have written actual accounts of alcoholics in their families, about themselves. Destruction of the family. So now, which is more expensive? Which is more trouble? Buying alcohol, drinking alcohol, finding yourself lying in your vomit in a drain one morning, getting arrested, beating up people, getting beaten up. Which is more expensive? And not doing all that, living a decent life, going to sleep peacefully at 10 o'clock in the night and waking up for tahajjud. Which is easier? Which is more decent? Which is cheaper? You know? Right? Similarly, gambling. Driving to Malakpet, putting money on horses. How many families do we know? Personally, how many families do we know in this same city of Hydro who were not just wealthy, I mean, they were like seriously wealthy and they were reduced to next to nothing. We know these families. We know these families. Obviously, we will not talk about them. May Allah bless them and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save them, because the people suffering are not the people who did it. But just because of one person, you know, a couple of people in the family who were addicted to gambling, and gambling is an addiction. That's why Islam, in Islam it is haram. So whether it is horses, whether it is, tash or God knows what, all of these are addictions. So which is more difficult? First of all, working hard, building a business or whatever you inherited and so on and so forth. Allah gave you ni'mah. And you spend it on horses and dogs and God knows what. And at the end of that, you ruin yourself. Is that less difficult? Or is it more difficult to enjoy the wealth and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and live a nice life of comfort and honor? Which is better, which is more difficult? So Islam is difficult. Now, bhav sahab sachi hai, magar bahut mushkil hai bolte na. Kya, kaun sa mushkil hai, aap socho. So we covered cigarettes, we covered alcohol, we covered gambling. What else is left? All our gana parties and ostentatious weddings. I'm not trying to make a list of everything. I'm just saying that it's a no-brainer. It's absolutely a no-brainer if you sit down and analyze and say which is actually more difficult. And remember, I have not even spoken about the effect of this on the akhirah, because this is not only for the dunya. Do you think a person who smokes all his life and he dies of lung cancer is going to go to Jannah without hisab? You think a person who drinks alcohol and is addicted and he ruins his whole family and so on and so forth and then dies in some car crash, is he going to Jannah without hisab? If there is somebody who has ruined his whole family and himself in gambling and so on and so forth, at the end of that he dies and then what will happen to him? There is no hisab for him? I'm not even talking about the akhirah. I'm not even mentioning the akhirah. Believe me, if you lived your whole life in haram and you think that you are going into Jannah without hisab, then hey, God knows, wallah alam, do you have iman at all in the first place? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you anyway. I don't get anything out of somebody else going to Jahannam. I don't want anyone to go to Jahannam. But I'm saying that just trying to thinking about Islam, thinking about principles of Islam, what we are describing, what I'm describing here is only the dunya part of it. The akhirah part of it still remains. So in dunya you suffer and in the akhirah also you suffer. But if you don't do that, no smoking, no gambling, no alcohol, no nothing, what did you get out of this? You got a decent, nice life. You got a life where you are respected. Stand next to a smoker in salah and see the fun. It stinks. Your salah is ruined, for him it doesn't matter, but for you stand next to a smoker, your salah is gone. He's used to the smell, he's used to the stink, it doesn't smell, but for the other person. So which is more difficult, which is easier? Similarly, I'll give you two more examples. What does Islam tell us, what does the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell us about treating people? Treat them with softness, treat them with kindness, be compassionate, right? Behave yourself with dignity, treat people with dignity. Somebody is working for you, treat them like they are human beings after all. So treat them like human beings. Be nice to them. Tell me, if you do this, And if you are not raving and ranting and you are not cursing people and you are not beating people, if you do this behavior of treating people well, whether it's your neighbors, your own family, your employees, your employer, you treat them with respect, you treat them with kindness, what does it do for you? Is there any benefit in this dunya at all or not? Tell me. What do I teach? I teach business, I teach leadership development. What do I teach in my business management workshops? Do I tell people as a boss, you know, first thing you do as soon as you enter your office, kick the first person who's there? Do I say this? Or do I say, no, even if somebody does something wrong, don't shout, don't scream. If you're criticizing somebody, do it in private, preserve the person's dignity, don't criticize people in public. Which one do I say? What do you think? No-brainer once more. Why? I'm not teaching Islam or Akhirah or Jannah in my business leadership workshops, but I'm teaching the same hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? I may not say Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I'm saying the same thing. When I'm teaching customer service, what am I teaching? The aha experience of the customer. What is that? Give the customer more than what he thinks he should get. Right? So aha experience is, customer says, man, this I didn't expect. This is fantastic. Absolutely great. You know, I paid for this, but you are giving me this much more. The aha experience of the customer. What does it tell you? So what am I teaching? Why am I teaching that? I am teaching that because it gives you measurable benefits in this life. It gives you credibility in the marketplace. Tell me, anybody allergic to being credible? It gives you credibility in society. People will respect you. People will follow you. People will take your leadership. You will have influence. You got a problem with that? Good customer service will get you money. Anybody allergic to money? It will get you good customers. It will get you customer loyalty. It will get you repeat customers. So now my point is that the same things which we teach in business schools, the same things we teach in leadership academies, the same things we teach anywhere as secrets of success in this life. Yeah? Stephen Covey, 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. Pick up any book, Tom Peters, this one, that one. Look at what the guys are teaching and say, what he's teaching, are these Islamic principles or not? So how come they are doing it and they don't think it is difficult, but when we talk, when we say the same thing in the name of Islam, you say, no, but you see it is too difficult. How is it difficult? Tell me. So is it difficult or is it that we are stuck in the trap of shaitan, where shaitan is convincing us that, look, all of this is so difficult, so go destroy your life, that is easier. Go buy enemies, that is easier. Go buy disgrace, that is easier. Which one is easier? So seriously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us hayatan tayyibah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised him hayatan tayyibah. Allah said, he will give him a beautiful haya. He didn't say after ba'd al-maut, no. In this dunya. Ba'd al-maut, inshallah, definitely. If Allah has given somebody hayatan tayyibah in this dunya, then inshallah al-musta'an, we have every hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also give him a beautiful life after after he dies. But in this dunya, Allah, the hayatan tayyibah is in this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَيَسْتَقْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And Allah said, I will give him khilafah on the earth. You will give him hukumat, we will give him power and authority and kingdom. But I'm saying, even if you and I don't end up being kings, what's wrong with having a beautiful life in this world? How do you get that? By throwing out this figment of the imagination, this imaginary trap of shaitan to say that Islam is difficult. Islam is not difficult. Islam is the easiest possible thing. Anyone who says I'm struggling to follow Islam hasn't understood Islam. That's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. There is no struggle in Islam. Islam is the easiest possible thing. Islam is the natural choice of any decent human being. So ask yourself, are you a decent human being? If you are, then Islam is your natural choice. Islamic behavior according to the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the natural choice. Behaving other than that is not the natural choice. So if you are doing something against the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is what is difficult. And remember, all the examples I gave you, I didn't talk about the Akhirah. I'm talking about in the dunya. That is more difficult. That is what will take your money. That is what will make effort for you, and so on and so forth. Believe me, when the person, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La zulma al-yawm, on the day of judgment, there is no zulm. The person who enters Jahannam would have purchased it, would have bought it. He will have all the accounts. He will have all the bills to show for it. All this is what I paid for Jahannam. We don't want to be among them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us. And for that, we have to make the effort. So I remind myself and you, let us make sure that we make the right choices and we don't fall into the trap of shaitan and believe all this nonsense that Islam is difficult. Islam is not difficult. Islam is the easiest possible thing that is going. And so therefore, let us follow Islam joyfully, knowing fully well that this is what will give us success in this dunya wal akhirah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.